And I want to preach about Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Preach about these men. But I want to preach more than anything about the fourth man that was in the furnace with them. We talk about the fourth man that was in there sometimes, and we make reference to him and say the Lord was there. But I want to look at some things tonight of why he was there and what he done while he was there. Amen. But let's begin to read. Ain't it good to be here tonight? Amen. I'm excited to be in God's house. I'm always excited to get to come to church, and I hope that you're happy to be here. Daniel chapter 3, begin to read with me in verse 15. And the Bible says, and now if you be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's fixing to find out, ain't he? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and up in haste, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, now I've got this underlined in my Bible, I see four men loose. Boy, they wasn't bound no more. Boy, they was in the midst of their trial, but they sure wasn't bound, was they? Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Boy, we would have shouted right there. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Thank God for that. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair on their heads singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Let me stop right here before I read this last verse. What did he say? What did the king say over here in verse 15? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I want you to look in verse 29. He said, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He learned, didn't he? And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You be seated tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to help us now and touch us afresh. Lord, as we get ready to preach, I pray that you'll come by and stir hearts while we might preach a little while. I pray you'd stir mine. And Lord, that we'd find encouragement now out of the Word of God tonight. And thank you that you're always in the fire with us, Lord. No matter what's going on, we've always got you. And thank you for that tonight. We pray if there's one lost, save them, needs help. I pray the folk will find help tonight out of the Word of God. Now touch us afresh and anoint us for this in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look at what's taking place at this time, if you go back to the first part and out of the chapter, Nebuchadnezzar has set up a great golden image out in the plain of Dura, out in the desert. And he's got everybody, just about all his counselors and his sheriffs. He's got everybody that means anybody in the province of Babylon. And he's brought them out there, and they're going to have a dedication. And that under this idol that he set up. And I mean, this great idol goes way up into the air. And I mean, it's idolatry. And I mean, they're just... And by the way, that's what Babylon was. It was a place of idolatry that did not know and that the God of heaven. And so we see all the wickedness that was taking place. Can I tell you tonight that idol worship is wickedness tonight? It's evil and it's against God. He said, thou shalt have no other gods. He said, you shouldn't have graven images, molten images, and bow yourself down and that to no other gods. And so we find all the wickedness that's going on at this time. And boy, they're having a big dedication, just as Jacob told in Sunday school this morning about the dedication and that of the walls of Jerusalem over there in the book of Nehemiah. And that is that going to the house of God, which was dedicated, and that to his worship and to the sacrifice that was to be made. They were having a dedication to this great monstrosity of an idol that they had set up. But we see the convictions of God's servants. They had not bowed. If you go back to chapter 1, you remember Daniel said over there, God had brought him into favor with a man that was over the eunuchs. And he said that I do not want to defile myself with the king's meat, and him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were friends, and they began to pray and began to seek God. And I believe from the very first chapter in the book of Daniel, we see these men's heart that they loved God. They wanted to serve God to the best of their ability. They wanted to do everything they could for God. And when the music started and everything began to play and everybody bows down, here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing straight up. They stuck out like a sore thumb, didn't they? Listen, can I tell you, in this world that we're living in today, we should stick out like a sore thumb. They knew the consequences that they were facing. They understood that it was going to be a sure death, but they were going to serve God no matter what. And now, as we've read the text verse, they've been put on the spot for their faith and for their convictions. There's going to come a day that our faith and our convictions is going to get put on the spot. There's going to come a day that we're going to be and that in the fiery furnace, and that the trials of and that of life and our convictions and our faith are either going to shine forth or we're going to give them up. And so we see the stand that they took, and they stood for God, and we see the realness of the fire that got these men, that threw them in. It was a real fire. I say that for a reason, because a lot of people say, well, it was just a little fire down there. That's kind of like it was just a little water that the children of Israel crossed over on the Red Sea. If that was just a little water on the Red Sea, then how'd all them Egyptians drowned over? I don't know which one was a greater miracle. If God parted the Red Sea and let them cross on dry ground, or he drowned all them Egyptians in ankle deep water. I ain't sure tonight. Amen. I know what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. I believe God made the east wind blow all night, and he parted the Red Sea over there, and they crossed on dry ground, and Moses held his rod back up on the other side and closed the water up, and God drowned them crazy Egyptians over there in the water. Amen. But we see the realness of the fire. It slew these men that threw them in to that burning fiery furnace. Seems like to me that the king was ready for this, wasn't it? I mean, he was ready, because he said, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace. But what I want to do tonight is look at this man that was with him. Ain't you glad that he's with you tonight? The fourth man. He answered over here. I can say, I imagine the king, as he peered over the edge of wherever he might have been at, and he was looking into this fiery furnace, I can imagine as he looked in, and he looked astonished as he could see down into that fiery furnace. And not only were there men in there walking around, but there was more than three men. There was four men. And boy, if I could talk about the fourth man tonight for just a little bit. That old pagan king had it right, didn't he? He said, I see four men in there loose. And he said, the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, new Bible versions, I want to change that right there and say, he looks like one of the Son of God's, or a little G, or whatever. But I'm telling you, Jesus, and that day come and showed up for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ain't you glad for that? Because I'm going to tell you, friend, there's going to come a day in your life that you're going to be in the midst of the fiery furnace, and you're going to need him to come and show up. And I'm so glad he does that tonight. I want to look at some reasons tonight about this fourth man of why he showed up. You ever think about why he showed up? You know that there's been martyrs that went to the stake and died. And I mean, they burned them at the stake and they drove and quartered them. And I listen, but why did God show up this time like he did? Listen, friend, I don't know everything. I'm not going to pretend to know everything. But I know this, that when the child of God, I do know this much, that when it's time for us to leave out of here, no matter how we're leaving, when it's time for us to leave, he'll be there. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Now, let me say this, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can imagine when the king got mad, and they bound them men. And the Bible wanted us to know that they were in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments. The Bible said there's a reason for that. And I'll get there in just a second. They bound them up and they took them down there. Now them boys knew what they were facing. They knew what they were facing when they made their stand. They knew what they were facing when they were talking to the king. And they knew what they were facing when they were getting bound, that sure death was standing in front of them. Let me tell you, there may come some days that sure death is standing in front of us. It sure feels like it sometimes. But I want you to look right here. Just a couple of things, three or four things tonight of why the fourth man, why did he show up? Number one, can I say tonight, he showed up because of their heart. They had a faithful heart. Out of all the men that day that stood straight up when everybody else was bowing, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I tell you, as God looks on us tonight, He knows our heart and what's on the inside. He knows whether we're doing it for show. He knows whether we're doing it so that we might gain the glory. He knows whether we're doing it so that we could glorify Him tonight. He looked at these men's faithful heart and He seen that they were doing it so that God might get the glory. They did not want to defile themselves and that by bowing down and that to a wicked king's pagan idol. Listen, they didn't want to do those things. God knew that he loved, that they loved him and wanted to serve him with their whole heart. God knew that. Can I ask you tonight, how many of us want to serve him with our whole heart? He looked down at three. You know, we say they were young men. I don't know how old they were at this point. I really don't. I think they were probably about 18 or 19 years old when they went down into the land of Babylon. So I imagine that these fellas were somewhere probably in their 20s, maybe into their 30s at this point. I really don't know. Bible don't tell us. I don't think that's the important part of the message tonight. He looked at their heart and he seen three men in a pagan country where there wasn't even anything known about God. You remember a few chapters later, I believe it's chapter 5, when Belshazzar's got everything out of God's temple over all that gold and that silver and they're partying and having a big time and God's hand shows up writing on the wall over there. I believe God was writing in Hebrew. That's why they didn't know what it said. They didn't know what the Hebrew language was. And you take that and throw that out. But I tell you that for a reason. Because they didn't know the God of heaven. Well, see, these three boys, not only did they have a faithful heart that wanted to serve God, they had a faithful heart that wanted to serve God in a pagan land. See, it's one thing for us to come in here among folk that we love and among folk that believes the same and wants to live the same. And it's one thing to live in Southeast Tennessee where everybody proclaims to be a Christian at least. And it's easy to live around here our Christian faith. But these boys wanted to live their Christian faith in the midst of a pagan world. God looked at their heart and seen that they were real. Seen that as real. I have that problem sometimes, looking on the inside and wondering how real I am. I just want to be real. Whatever I am, I just want to be real. You know, I just want to live real. That's it tonight. I mean, flaws and all, and you know, fingers on chalkboards and everything. I just want to be real. Philippians chapter 2, he said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As Paul talked to the church at Philippi and wrote to them, he said, I want you to be blameless and harmless as the sons of God. He said, without rebuke, nothing that the world can rebuke you on, that they can get you on. But he said, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation that you're in, he said, shine as lights. And I believe that's what these boys wanted to do. God looked down from heaven and seen their heart. He knew they had a faithful heart. I believe that the fourth man showed up not only because of their heart, but because of the hardness. This was fixing to be something hard that they was going to have to face. Imagine when they stood over there by their self. These three of them stood there. Everybody else bowed down. As I said a few minutes ago, they stuck out like a sore thumb. I mean, if you could have just looked out across the whole desert, out through there, and everybody was bowing down. And listen, here stands three men, three Hebrew men, standing up. They were going to be accounted for, wasn't they? They didn't make a big to-do about their stand. They just stood. A lot of times folks want to make a big to-do about their stand and they want to talk about their stand and they want to say, look at our stand. Listen, we just need to stand. I mean, these last days that we're living in, we just need to be aligned and we need to take our stand and be counted faithful in that in the hard times. Amen. Let me say this, that hard times may come in our faith. It may come in our Christian life. Even living for Christ. I mean, there are some folk today, and listen, I try to stay out of the news as much as I can, but I will agree with what the president said the other day. Friend, if you can keep the abortion clinics open and the liquor stores open, you can keep church open. Amen. I believe that tonight with all my heart. Listen, they had no business shutting them down to start with. That ought to be up to us. If we're uncomfortable coming, then it ought to be our decision not to come. Amen. You got governors tonight making rules and making laws and trying to keep folk out of it. I've never understood that tonight. Why they would leave the liquor stores, why they would leave the abortion clinics, why they would leave everything else open and shut the church down. I don't understand that tonight. The only hope and the only help that our nation's got tonight is the church of the living God tonight. Amen. It's the only help we've got is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he came not only because of their heart, but because of the hardness that they were going to face. Can you imagine as those men stood there by their self? And as I said a few minutes ago, it was sure death. And they knew that the king was going to bring them up. And they knew that they were going to have to go answer him. And he even gives them a second chance. In verse 15, he said, if you'll just fall down to the image which I made and worship it, he said, well. He said, if you'll just do that, everything will be good. We'll give you another shot at it. We'll give you a second chance at worshiping that image right there. And you know what? Them boys didn't even give him a chance to really finish what he was saying. They didn't let him give him a chance to go back out there and stand. They just said, King, we're just not careful to answer thee in this matter. We already know what we believe. We already know what we're going to do. And we're not going to bow down to your God. We know that God is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. We know that God is able to deliver us out of your hands. But nonetheless, he said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Their faith has been put on trial in a hard time. It's easy to have our faith put on trial when things is going easy. It's easy to have faith when everything's working the way we want it to. It's easy to have faith when we're healthy. It's easy to have faith when everything's good and nobody's in the hospital and we're not at the funeral home and we're not wringing our hands and wondering why this has happened. Hey, it's easy to have faith in days like that. Can I tell you, if me and you are going to suffer, if we're going to serve God, then we're going to have to suffer. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll flip over and read it to you, you don't have to go there. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He said, "You got to endure hardness." Do you know there's just some hard things we're going to have to go through in this life? Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. Some of you all have been in the service. And he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. There's just some things that's tough when you serve. If you're going to serve Christ, some things are just going to be hard sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning," now watch this here, "the fiery trial." Reckon where Peter got that at. Reckon where Peter pulled out fiery trial at. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Now, as he is talking about suffering for being a Christian, I hope we never see that in our time. I hope we don't. But I'm going to tell you, there are folk tonight in third world countries who are suffering for being a Christian. They're suffering for the cause of Christ. And if folk just knew, if folk just knew the peace and the joy that only Christ and that could bring, listen, they'd want to be a Christian too. But he said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial to try you." Sometimes it's not our Christianity being tried, but sometimes it's like Job. You know, when the Lord offered up Job and took the hedges away from him, he knew what Satan was going to do. He knew the struggle that Job and that was going to have. He knew that, listen, all Satan wanted Job to do, listen, on two occasions, Satan told God, he'll curse you out of your face. And on another occasion, Miss Job come out there and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And all Satan wanted Job to do, the greatest man of all the East that loved God and that shoot evil and was faithful to God, he wanted him to quit. That's all he wanted. He wanted him to look up to heaven and curse God and say, "I ain't serving you no more." I'm going to tell you, there's going to come days in your life, if you've never been there, that Satan's going to jump up on your shoulder and tell you that none of this is real. You're going to be going through a hard time in your life, and you're going to kind of wonder where God's at. These boys were living when they told that king over there, "We're not going to bow down to your idol." They were living on their faith and on their convictions. That's what they were doing. Listen, he hadn't showed up yet, had he? He hadn't made an appearance yet, had he? But they were still living on their convictions. Listen, I want you to understand something. Christ Jesus the Lord, I mean, He loves us and He knows what it's like to suffer. I talked about that for just a minute or two before I got started this morning. He knows what it's like to suffer. Hebrews chapter 4 said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Hey friend, He knows what it means to suffer. He knows when hardness comes in our life. He understands that. And listen, He will always show up when those times come. John chapter 14, He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You ever been there? When your faith, you just felt like that your faith was being tried. You felt like, and maybe your feeling was right, maybe your faith was being tried. And when you get very low, all of a sudden, here comes the Lord. He shows up on time because He knows what it's like to suffer. You know what He said in 1 Peter 5? He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." That's what He does. After we have suffered a while, He perfects us, He establishes us, He strengthens us, and He settles us. When the Lord called Saul of Tarsus and turned him into the Apostle Paul, He told Ananias over there, He said, "For I know the things that he's going to have to suffer." You know why the fourth man showed up, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because of the hardness that they were going through. He knows what it's like to go through hard things and hard times. And He don't want us to face them alone. I'm glad we don't ever face them alone. I wish I'd have brought that poem with me tonight about the footprints in the sand. A lot of times we feel that way. Most of us know that poem that was wrote about the footprints in the sand. The gist of it is we look at the footprints in the sand and we see two sets of footprints. But yet, when the hard times come, we only seen one set of footprints. And we asked the Lord, "Why did you leave me?" And He said, "That's not where I left you, that's where I carried you." So why did He show up? He showed up because of the hardness. Number three, why did the fourth man show up? Because of the heathen. You know, the Lord never leaves Himself without a witness, does He? There stood a pagan king that said, "Who's that God that's going to deliver you out of my hands?" That old pagan king looked down there in that furnace and saw four men walking around on the inside, and he got it right. And he said, "Hey, that fourth man looks like the Son of God down there." And he walks up to the edge of that furnace and he says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," he said, "servants of the Most High God." He changed his tune, didn't he? Nebuchadnezzar changed his tune. He went from "Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands?" into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "servants of the Most High God." Now, I told you I was going to say why they had their coat and their hosen and their hat and all their other garments. You know why? Look down here in verse 27. "And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men." Now remember, I told you He come because of the heathen. Listen, you've got a bunch of heathen men standing around that didn't know nothing about God. You've got an idol standing right over here that they're all bowing down to. And the God of heaven just showed up. That idol didn't have nothing to do with what happened. Man, can you imagine the story that was getting told about this? I mean, you got everybody out here in the plains of Dura. I mean, this just wasn't about 10 men. I mean, this was thousands of people out here. Now look what He said. "Saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I thank God let them get bound up in all that stuff so that they could see that what they went in with, they come out with. You know, when we're trusting Him, what we go in with, we come out with. We'll make it through. We'll make it through. Everything, listen, we'll make it through if we're trusting Him. You know what? You know what's happening? You know when them boys got thrown in, I believe all them heathen people, I believe all them Babylonians, all of them was standing over there, all them Chaldeans, and they were watching all this take place. They were watching three Jews, three Hebrews. I mean, that's what they said back here, wasn't it? Let me see if I can find that. They come over there and they said, what these Chaldeans said. The Bible said, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. God's people always get accused, don't they? We're always the problem. Right? We're always the problem. Listen, I mean, wasn't that Elijah's problem over there with King Ahab? I mean, King Ahab wanted to blame Elijah for everything that was going on. I believe God wanted them to see that He was the one that had the upper hand, that there was a God in heaven. But you know the heathen's watching, the world's watching us. They know when things get bad. They know when our world is crashing down on top of us and we're falling apart. They know and they watch when we're having to spend time in the hospital, when one we love is just about to cross, when one we love, is sick. When we've got sickness and all these things is coming in on us. Hey, listen, there's a world out there watching how we're going to respond. And they're watching how we're going to come through this thing. And they're watching to see if we're real, but they're also watching to see if the God of heaven's real. You know what? If these boys would have bowed down, the story would have ended right there. I don't think we'd ever had a story if these boys would have bowed down. I think if they were given their second chance and they would have bowed down on the second time, we'd have never had this story. They would have never been thrown into the fire, but folk would have never seen the Lord show up. And you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have never seen the Lord show up. Do you know that there's times in your life that had you not suffered through whatever it was, you would have never seen God show up? You would have never got to see that. You'd have never seen, number four, you'd have never got to see Him come by to help. And that's what the Lord done. He come by simply because they needed help. He was their help when they were standing. He was their help when they were headed to the fire. But He showed up and He helped these men in the midst of the fire. In the midst of when it was raging around them, when they could do nothing for themselves, when they couldn't fix the problem, when they had nothing and no way to go, He showed up. Think about that for just a second. Preacher, do you really believe that's what happened? I believe that's what happened. I believe this book the way that it's wrote tonight. And I believe the God of heaven sent His Son and He showed up and He helped these men. I kind of wonder what they talked about while they were down there in the midst of the fire. Boy, it's awful cold in here, ain't it? They might have been sitting in there roasting hot dogs. I don't know. You know, when He's with us, we don't see it like everybody else sees it. What I mean by that is, the world seen them getting thrown into a fiery furnace and that it was sure death. But they didn't see it that way. When He showed up, all they could see was Him. And you know what? He had a difference enough that that pagan king looked in there and said, that fourth one's the Son of God. You know what? He shines out in the midst of our burning fiery furnace that they can see. Not that I'm looking to suffer, nor do I want to suffer. But you know, He told Paul over there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He told Paul when he come to him, when Paul come to him about that messenger of Satan that was buffeting him and was a thorn in his flesh. And he said, Lord, I need you to take this away. And he said, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't like suffering. I don't like going through bad things, hard times, heated times. I don't like those times. But I know this, that no matter what we're going through, He'll always be there. He'll show up. The fourth man will show up in the midst of the fire. I want you to look at what happened. Do I think that Nebuchadnezzar got things right with God? No, not right here. It took to the next chapter for Nebuchadnezzar to get things right with God. God had to take his sanity from him for him to get right over there. But you know what happened? These boys got some friendly things toward them. They could serve their God and only serve their God. And nobody could talk about their God. He said, if you talk about their God, he said, look, he said, and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. That's still true today. There's no other God that can deliver after this sort. I don't know how the world makes it through, but I'm glad I know how I make it through. So then we come down to verse 30. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want you to look at that for just a second. They got promoted. They got sent on up the ladder. God blessed them in their position that they were at simply because they were faithful and that to God. Ain't that amazing tonight? Can I tell you tonight when the fourth man, when we get in the midst of our burning fiery furnace, the fourth man will show up. Sometimes I wonder where he's at. It just, I ain't got there yet. I ain't got to the place where he needs to smile on me yet. But you know, he always has a way of showing up, don't he? You may be in the midst of your burning fire furnace tonight, and I'll tell you the fourth man will come by and he'll help you. Let's bow our head tonight. The fourth man, he came because of their heart and because of the hardness that they were facing. He came because of the heathen for the world to see. But he came to be a help to them. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like and that to stand for what was right. And as this thing rocks on, church, I want you to understand tonight, if the world keeps rolling before Jesus comes to get us, if it keeps going, there may come a day that we stand having our faith put on trial. But can I tell you that our faith gets put on trial all the time? Hard times come, tough times come. I like that song tonight, because he lives. You know why he showed up over in the furnace? Because he's alive. He's our help. If you need help tonight, you can come gather up around this altar and we'll give you help. He'll give you strength tonight. Fourth man can help you if you'll let him.